Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is titled, Five Critical KPIs for Demand Service. Tom, Grandy & Associates has been teaching contractors how to run profitable companies for over 35 years. If there is one common problem within most trades companies, it's that their service department is not as profitable as it should be. Wouldn't you agree?
You're 100% correct, Bill. The service department should be, the single most profitable department within any trades company, but it's usually not. A well-run service department should generate a 15 to 20% net profit, which can get even higher if the service is on flat rate pricing. One of our most popular seminars, both live streaming and in person, is entitled Service Department Management. Bill, today you're going to provide a quick summary of that program for our listeners, right?
Oh, I sure am, Tom. Yeah, I'm going to cover multiple reasons for poor service department performance, a quick calculation to find out if companies' hourly rates are correct, and most importantly, I'm going to cover the five most critical key performance indicators that must be tracked within the service department to ensure maximum profitability. Now, most listening to this series are longtime subscribers of this program, and chances are you've attended at least one of the many classes that I've taught over the years. Suffice it to say, I'm the current owner and president of Grandy & Associates, so let's get started with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation titled, Five Critical KPIs for Demand Service. Your service department can and should be the most profitable area of your company. Is it? Seriously, is it? Let me say that again. Your service department can and should be the most profitable area of your company. But it's usually not. Why is that? When we study company after company after company, what we find is that service departments aren't as profitable as they should be for really one of two reasons. First, improper pricing. Second, improper management. Let's take a look at each of these. First off, why is service typically underpriced? Well, think about it. There's a lot of different reasons. The cost of running your service department is huge, especially compared to other areas within your company. Think about it, the cost of non-billable time. The typical service technician is 50% billable. 50%, that means 50% of the time that they show up, they're not billable. And that's all time that I have to pay them for that I can't bill somebody for. That piece right there, the cost of non-billable time, tends to be your single greatest expense in your company. If we look at it, and I ask most company owners, what is your single greatest expense? They'll say labor. Well, really, if we look at it, it's a subset of labor. It's the cost of wages that I have to pay my field guys that I can't bill somebody for. Number one expense. The second reason the cost of running the service department is sometimes a problem is because the support staff is huge. You know, we look at the cost of running that department and the people that it takes to keep it going. Your CSRs, your dispatchers, right? The people in the office who need to be ordering parts, be getting that stuff in, be scheduling calls, be talking to the customers, scheduling the technicians, right? All that stuff is expensive, but we need them. Try to efficiently run a service department without those people, it's not going to happen. Your equipment and replacement costs are high. Think about it. I said your number one greatest expense was the cost of non-billable time. Your company's second greatest expense is likely your equipment replacement costs. What it costs you to replace your trucks on a regular basis. This is typically, again, the second greatest expense. Yet, when do most company owners start to plan when I'm going to replace my trucks? For a lot, it's when we're sitting on the side of the road in the truck going, oh, crud, it broke. Now, what do we do? That's an issue. Fuel and maintenance on those trucks is incredibly expensive. What it costs to keep that fleet on the road every single day, again, drives the cost of our service department up. Something has to pay for that. The general overhead to run the service department is high. I mean, look at the tools that we need today, right? It's no longer just, giving a technician a sheet of paper or a call sheet and tell them, be on your way. Now it's again the tablets and the pricing books and all the tools that it takes to really do the work that our service technicians are doing. It's incredibly expensive. And all of that is tied into the fact that there's a limited number of billable hours. It's all about the billable hours. We need to be spreading our costs across those billable hours. That's the only place we have to bring revenue in is our billable time. And so all of those other expenses that we just talked about here need to be spread across those limited number of billable hours. Now, I said the second reason that it's many times not profitable is because it's not managed the way that it should. Why is it so hard to manage our service department? Well, realistically, there are a couple of good reasons. Number one, there's just so many variables. Sometimes running a service department is a little bit like trying to nail Jell-O to a tree, right? As Dave Ramsey says, it's tough to do. There's so many variables there. You know, one of the other reasons is historically there's never been a solid key performance indicator or a set of key performance indicators to measure the guys against. And if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. Think about it. If we don't have specific key performance indicators in front of our guys that we're going to measure them against, then what are we telling them to do? We send them out on a service call. What are we telling them to do? What we're telling them is to fix it. And remember, for the perfect service call for a lot of technicians is that call where I can go out there in the morning, right? And I get to the home, nobody's home, the key is under the mat, just like I was told it would be. I can let myself into the home, work on the equipment all day long, because it's really not working well at all. And by the time I leave at the end of the day, it's purring like a kitten. I don't have to deal with money. I can go back to the office, turn in the paperwork, they take care of the collecting for the customer themselves. In other words, I had that one call. It was a real challenge. I love that challenge, all right? I really didn't have to talk to anybody all day long. See, sometimes fixing it is not the right answer. We can't be profitable fixing it in some cases, right? Sometimes that replacement is the right answer. So what are those key performance indicators, those metrics that we're going to use to measure our team against? And on top of that, for a long time, there's really been no system available for tracking the performance and for rewarding our technicians. We have to figure out a way to do that. Now, really, in this session, what we're going to cover is the demand service department. We're not talking about maintenance. We're not talking about getting sales leads and things like that. We're focusing on the demand service department. And really, what we're going to look at is what are the effects of setting specific goals for your technicians? It's critical that you do that. We're going to talk about some of the reasons for poor performance. We're going to review proper demand service pricing per hour. Because quite frankly, if you're not priced properly, none of the rest of this matters. And we're going to talk about five key performance indicators that are absolutely critical for you to track in your demand service department. So let's get started. The first question that I have to ask is, who's running your service department? No, seriously, who is running your service department? Who's setting the standards for the rest of your service technicians? In a lot of cases, it's not you as the owner, or it's not you as a service manager. For a lot of companies, it's that senior service technician, that guy that's been with you forever, right? That's the person that's really running the service department. Now, the problem with that is how many of you within your company have that prima donna technician? You know, that technician that kind of feels that they can set their standard. They've been with you long enough. They've earned the right to call the shots, right? So they work a little bit differently. They try and dictate what types of calls they want to go on. Oh, man, Mrs. Pertucci. No, that's okay. You know what? I've been on that call a million times. Send Junior this year, right? They start picking and choosing the type of work they want to do. They've been there forever. They know all the customers. And so they want to sit and chat with the customers. And so, they start kind of setting their pace a little bit. And the challenge is, if the lead guy is setting the pace, then the rest of the pack will follow. That's not healthy for your service department. As a service manager, as the owner of your company, you need to set the pace for your service department. It's critical that you do that. You know, it's interesting. When we start working with companies and we start tracking the actual performance of the technicians, one of the things that we'll do regularly is on the onset of that process, we'll ask the company owner or the service manager, who is your number one technician? Who is that lead guy, that go-to guy, the one that is your best performer? And they'll give me a name, and I'll usually jot that down. And then after about a month of actually tracking data for the whole team, we'll go back and look. We'll rank the technicians in order of their actual productivity. And one of the things that we find is that guy that we think is our most productive technician seldom is in the top 50% of our team. Why is that? All these other factors. Right. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that many times this lead guy is also the guy that we send out on jobs that nobody else can fix, right? He's the one doing the cleanup. He's doing the callbacks. He's doing some of that. I get that. And that affects his performance. But don't misunderstand me here. That guy that you think is most productive seldom has the top numbers because he's trying to set his own pace in a lot of cases. Peter Drucker has an awesome quote. I love it when it comes to leadership of this department. Leadership is lifting up a person's vision to a higher sight, raising a person's performance to a higher standard. As the leader of the service department, you need to do this. You need to set the vision for your team. Where are we going? Why are we going there? Now, sometimes that's hard to do, especially as your company is growing. Right? One of the most difficult things that you will ever have to do as a company owner or a service manager is to delegate and trust other people with the responsibilities that used to be yours. And as a company owner, if you don't do this, you can't grow. You become the lid of the company. And so we have to start, growing other leaders within the company and letting other people help you lead in this service department area. Your job is to cast the vision. Why are we doing this? What's in it for them? What's the benefit for them? Now, you can set out this vision and you can set out, we've got these goals as a company. But now let's get a little bit more specific. What's going to happen if we actually start setting specific goals for our technicians? Right? There's huge benefits to it. And your technicians need to have goals in front of them. Keep in mind, your techs will never miss a goal that you don't set. Remember, if we don't have goals in front of them, then quite frankly, the expectation that they have of themselves when they go out on a service call is fix it. That's the wrong expectation. It needs to be fix it profitably. Because sometimes I can take all day long, but again, if I do that, I may fix it, but there's no way we can ever be profitable on that job. Right, so again, there are serious benefits to setting specific goals for your service technicians. Number one, everybody on the team has something to work toward. That goal provides a benchmark for you to measure it against. Remember, I said if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. And so the second key benefit is, again, that goal provides you something to measure the progress for each individual technician and your team as a whole against. Number three, once given a specific goal, most technicians will start to reach for it. In fact, most people, human nature, if we've got that goal in front of them and they know the vision, most technicians will tend to meet or exceed the goals that you put out in front of them. And so we want to do that. Now, here's the other challenge is if we don't have any goals today, and tomorrow morning at the tech meeting, you sit down with your team and you say, okay, we're going to put these goals in place. Here's the benefits that we've got, right? Here's the expectations I now have for you. What is their reaction going to be? Chances are those technicians who are not stellar performers, those that are doing a poor job today, will probably become defensive. They really don't want you to know how good or bad they are. But those technicians on your team who are doing an outstanding job will welcome this with open arms. Good technicians want to be measured. Good technicians want you to know that they're doing a good job. And they want to be rewarded for doing a good job. They love that piece of the puzzle. And hey, if I'm going to incentivize, if I'm going to really energize anybody on my team, it's going to be the stellar performers. I want more of them, not more of the mediocre guys. So let's focus on the demand service a little bit more. What are some of these key performance indicators? Oh, and before we get there, what are some of the challenges again? Right? We already talked about pricing. We talked about that management piece of the puzzle. In demand service, again, we want to keep our service technicians performing demand service work as much as possible. Now, if they're doing everything, demand service and maintenance work, then I need to keep them engaged in demand service type work at, 55 to 70% of the time. That's what they should be doing. The rest of the time, they'll be working on maintenance and things like that, but a minimum of 55 to 70% of the time. If you have a separate maintenance department in your company, well, then our service techs should be doing service all the time. Now, again, there are a number of reasons for poor performance in this department. We talked generally about that, but let's get a little bit more specific. Right. There are a number of different issues in our service department as far as why we have these problems. Right? And there's really 16 different issues that we have that as we define them and look at companies as we're working with. In general, there's just, the first one, there's two general issues. Number one is, as we've already said, unclear performance expectations. If the techs don't know what you expect, they don't know what winning looks like. Another general issue would be poor dispatching. Again, a dispatcher has the ability to make or break the success of our service department. And so we may have to look at that again. If our jobs are clustered together and they can minimize drive time, their performance starts to go up. But if we're racing these guys all the way across town 17 times a day, there's no way they can be productive. And so we may have to deal with our dispatch department as well. Let's look at reasons for poor performance that fall under pricing and billing. Right, so the next couple of reasons all fall under this category. Number one, your hourly rate is either set incorrectly or it's set too low. Again, if your hourly rate isn't set correct, none of the rest of this matters. You're not going to be able to be profitable if we're undercharging the customer. Reason number four, again, still in this area, a fear of charging what you need to charge to make a profit. Here's the thing, if you're undercharging the customer and you're afraid to raise your rates, you're on a 3 to 5 year road of going out of business. Do yourself a favor. Close the doors today. It'll save yourself a lot of stress. If we're not charging what we need to charge to at least cover our cost of operation, we're already declining. That's the minimum. Reason number five, still under billing and pricing, fear that somebody else out in the market will undercharge us. Relax. Let me assure you, somebody will undercharge you, right? They will undercut you. There's no question about it. And you can't worry about the guy who's charging less, right? Maybe I'm aware of them. I get that part of it, but you can't be tied up in trying to match their pricing because, again, remember, what's going to happen in your market, and this isn't just service, this is every aspect of your business. What would happen in your market if you lower your price? That's right, somebody else will lower theirs, and it's a race to the bottom. Again, when we look at reasons why customers buy, what they expect of you as a contractor, really what they want, again, is quality work. They want you to show up on time. They want you to do what you said you were going to do. And if we do those three things, study after study after study has shown pricing falls way down the list. Build more value in what you're doing. Don't worry about the price. You're worth it. Reason number six, still under pricing and billing, is technician under billing. We'll look at that one. That one of our KPIs ties directly to that, the technician not billing what they should be on a job. Number seven, the wage increases outpacing street rates. If you're giving increases to your service technicians, but you're not increasing your street rate, then you are absolutely falling behind. There is only one place for you to get revenue in your service department, and that's through your labor rate. We need to be doing that, right? So every time, and the time to increase our street rate is before we give out the wage increases, not after. So be planning ahead. Now, the next really four reasons for poor performance fall under what I would call poor time management. So reason number eight, poor first-time call completion. If I'm not completing the calls the first time around that I go out there, that means I got to make a second trip, and that starts to degrade the performance of my service department. Reason number nine, again, too many trips to the supply house. When I spent time, again, I spent 22 years in a wholesale supply house working there. The thing I hated the most was that stupid popcorn machine. Because again, I walk out to the service counter and I'd see two technicians from different companies out there with a bag of popcorn and a can of Coke jaw-jacking about the fishing trip that they're about to take this weekend. What is that costing your company? That trip to the supply house can be tremendously expensive, and it's all non-billable time. Reason number 10, too much unapplied time or non-billable time, not knowing what our techs are doing. If you're simply having the technicians punch in the morning and punch out at the end of the day, you have no clue what they're doing in the middle of the day. They need to be doing a timestamp every time they finish a call, every time they start the next call, because you need to know what's going on in all that time in between. Reason number 11, inefficiency causing the need for too many service technicians for the amount of service work that you have. If you're not efficiently managing your service department, it means chances are you need to hire extra guys just to cover the work. If each of my technicians could do one extra call a day, quite frankly, maybe I don't need quite so many technicians, which overall reduces my cost for the revenue we're bringing in and the profitability goes up. Or you've got the bandwidth to handle more work. Look at how we're managing our service department. The next couple of issues that we run into, the next three, really fall under what I consider staffing issues. Right, so reason number 12 is tradition. The number of times I've heard this is astounding. Well, we've always had six technicians. Granddad had six technicians when he owned this company, and Dad had six technicians, and by golly, we're a company that just has six technicians. Have the number of technicians that you need to do the work, and no more. Reason number 13, weak leadership. Afraid to do the right thing because we might lose technicians. If I put goals in front of my guys, they're not going to like that and they might leave. That's almost like saying, you know, not training people because, you know, again, what if I train them and they leave? Well, what if you don't train them and they stay? Right? If we don't put goals in front of the guys, if we don't do what we're supposed to do as a leader of this department, what if our guys are lousy performers and they keep being lousy? Doesn't help you. Reason number 14, keeping underperforming technicians or technicians with poor attitudes, even when you and everybody else in the company knows they should go. And in today's labor market, believe me, I get it. It's hard to find good people. But that one technician could be infecting the rest of the team and destroying the productivity of everybody else on the team. The number of times that I've worked in companies that, again, the lead technician disappears or goes or leaves or whatever the case is, and suddenly the performance, everybody else on the team rises to the occasion and the productivity of the entire team goes up and we're now doing more with fewer people or more with that guy that we didn't think we could live without. A couple more staffing issues, right? High turnover. The best people want to work for the best leadership. So again, if you've got a rock star technician on your team, or if you want to attract or build rock star technicians, you better be a rock star leader. Because even if they're just growing and they're going to turn into that rock star technician, eventually they want to be working for that rock star leader. So you need to be developing your leadership skills. And the last reason here, the last one on the list, technician, we already talked about technician wages and bonuses outpacing that street rate. We talked about that a little bit earlier, but that really comes back into the same area. There's no question. A successful and profitable service department is a team effort. But it starts with you as their manager. Let's look at that hourly rate for a little bit. That improper pricing piece of the puzzle. If your labor rate for your service department is not properly set, again, none of the rest of this matters. And your labor rate needs to be established from a cash flow perspective. There are significant differences between cash flow and accounting. And we're not gonna go real deep into that here, but let me just suffice it to say that again, your profit and loss statement will lie to you every day of the week. It'll tell you you're making a profit even if you're not. I don't care what my P&L says, if I don't have any money in the checkbook, we have a problem. Right? And so we need to establish our pricing. Remember, the accounting side of your company, it really doesn't properly look at equipment replacement costs. It looks at depreciation. And for the typical company, your actual equipment replacement cost, what it costs you to replace your trucks, will be 25 to 35% higher than the depreciation that's listed in your accounting system. The second major discrepancy is going to be the full amount of loan payments. Your P&L, the accounting side of your company, doesn't look at any principal that's applied to a loan. It sees all of that as profit, not as an expense. And so that principal needs to be built into your pricing as well. Now, as a general rule of thumb, and I'm not a great fan of rules of thumb, but this one is pretty solid. The percentage of labor to sales in your service department cannot exceed 25 cents for overall time worked versus the overall revenue generated. Let me put that a little bit clearer. Labor cannot exceed 25 cents out of every revenue dollar that your company brings in. Right? In your service department, labor should not exceed 25 cents out of every revenue dollar brought in. That's it. All right, so we need to be looking at that. So we can actually even work that backwards a little bit. All right, think about it. If your service technician's fully loaded wage, and I'll talk about that in a second, but let's say their fully loaded wage is $25.83. If they're working full-time, right, that's 160 hours a month, that means that over that course of that month, they're going to make $4,132. Now, if wages can't exceed 25 cents out of every revenue dollar brought in, I can simply take that $4,132 in wages divided by 0.25, and that'll tell me that this technician, at a minimum, needs to bring in $16,531 in revenue this month. If he's not doing it, he's underperforming, especially for the wages that he's making. Right now, we talked about that it's his fully loaded wage that we want to look at. When we look at this equation, what we're looking at is that fully loaded hourly rate includes the average base wage, right? What's their hourly rate that we're paying them? Plus the cost of vacation, holiday, and sick time, the employee medical insurance, their uniform expenses, the cost of workman's comp insurance, the matching taxes, FICA and Medicare, that you have to pay, also the state unemployment and any year-end bonuses. Now, for the typical company, and we have looked at hundreds and hundreds of companies, the cost of these expenses is about $5 an hour for every hour they work. So if you don't want to go back and actually look at it, and I encourage you to do that, right? Go back and look at what is all these items costing you per guy and spread that over all hours that they work throughout the year. You're going to find out it's going to be right around $5 per hour. So with this audience, we've got a handout that you can download from the website itself. And we've got a couple of quick worksheets on there that I'll kind of step you through. So I encourage you to go grab that worksheet. But if you simply take find out what their fully loaded rate is, what I would do is take the hourly rate for your average technician. Right. Sometimes we say your highest paid technicians, but that can skew these numbers a little bit, especially if you have one technician that makes substantially more than the rest of the technicians on the team. So what is your average hourly rate for your service technicians? And add $5 an hour to that. That will give you your fully loaded rate. Now, if we're looking to find out what we need to be charging per hour, now again, don't get me wrong. This is not the way you fully establish your labor rate, but it's a really good gut check to find out, do I need to go back and figure out if I'm charging what I need to? So if you take that fully loaded hourly rate, in our example here a minute ago, we said it was $28.13. Divide that by the time the technician is engaged in revenue generating activities, excluding holiday, vacation, and sick days. All right, so I'm saying this particular service technician is engaging in revenue generating activities 75% of the time, excluding those three areas. When I take that $28.13 divided by 0.75, that gives me a production pay rate of $37.50. Now, that's my production pay rate. If my labor to revenue target is 25%. I'll take that 3750 divided by 25% or 0.25. That tells me that my service rate needs to be somewhere around $150 an hour. And again, refer back to the handout that I gave you where I've given you some examples of this in writing. But here's the thing, if you're not within a few dollars of that $150 an hour or whatever you come up with for this calculation, then I encourage you to strongly go back and take a look at your service rate. What are you charging per hour? If you're lower than that, you're not charging enough. If you're higher than that, awesome. Right, then you're in good shape. But if you're lower than that, I strongly encourage you to go back and figure out what you need to be charging. So again, take a look in your handout. Worksheet number 2 will kind of walk you through that calculation that I just gave you. And if you're not sure if your service department, and if you do need to go back and look at if your service rate's not where it needs to be, I encourage you to take a look at our new Planning for Profit software, which will help you walk through and determine what is your break-even rate per department. And what do I need to charge per hour in each department to cover my cost of operation from a cash flow perspective and generate the necessary profit that we're looking for? So all that foundation is in place. Now let's get to the 5 critical key performance indicators that you need to track in your service department. KPI number 1, your average revenue per billable hour. The average service tech costs the company over $10,000 a year by underbilling for work that was actually performed. Now stop and think about this for a minute. How can your technician underbill? Unintentionally, right? Most cases, they're not doing it intentionally. Well, if you're on time and material, it's relatively easy to understand that, right? I mean, think about it. If a technician gets out to a job at 9:55, they wrap up at 11:05, what typically gets written down on the timesheet at that point? 1 hour. Well, we just underbilled the customer by 10 minutes. Whether you realize it or not, you sell your time by the minute. You might charge by the hour, but you need to sell your time by the minute. So you need to account for all of those minutes, or you always round up to the next 15-minute segment at a minimum. Right? So that winds up becoming a problem. Now, again, if we look at it, you know, the average company we'll have a revenue per billable hour, right? So that's the KPI we're looking at here. We'll have an average revenue per billable hour of someplace between $120 and $175 minimum. I don't care if you're 2 men or 200, you know, 70% of companies will be in that range. Look at 10 minutes. Just 10 minutes. This 10 minutes a call, but let's just take 10 minutes a day. 10 minutes a day times 5 days, you're looking at roughly an hour a week. An hour a week times 50 weeks, right? At that point, you're talking about 50 hours. 50 hours times that revenue per billable hour target, right? And we'll even use 150, right in the middle of that target range. You're looking at $7,500 in lost profitability because of that 10 minutes per day. You need to account for it. Now that's time and material. If you're on flat rate pricing, you're not out of the woods either. The average service technician will perform 2.3 flat rate codes per service call. The average technician will write down 1.7 flat rate codes. In other words, they're doing the work, but they're not accounting for all of the codes. The tougher it is for your techs to use your service, your flat rate books, whether it's digital or whether it's on paper, whatever it is, the harder it is for them to use it, the more inaccurate they will be, the fewer codes they will write down, which means we're actually underbilling the customer. And again, the average technician will underbill the customer anywhere between $10 and $30 per hour. In some cases, I've seen and worked with techs that were underbilling an average of $50 per hour. We need to be looking at this piece of the puzzle. So you have an issue with it, right? If we look at it, you know, to find out, do you have a problem with it? You first need to know what is your revenue per billable hour target. All right, so if my labor rate, and I'm going to use the same company all the way through this, right? So if my target labor rate was $150 an hour, add to that, what is your average parts cost? What's the average cost of all, you know, for the parts on a typical service call? Right, and on the HVAC side, it's $25 an hour on average. Now, again, I know there's a bunch of calls that it's a lot more than that, and there's a bunch of calls that it's nothing. Right. So what is the average parts cost? In my case, I'm going to use, you know, the national average is $25 an hour. I'm going to add to that then my parts markup. Well, I'm using a 100% markup, so if I had $25 in parts cost, that's another $25 in markup. And then add to that whatever your trip charge or diagnostic fee is. In our particular case, and again, you can refer to the handout where I have this kind of laid out. If my hourly rate is $150 an hour, my parts cost is $25 per hour, my parts markup is $25 per hour, and I'm charging a $79 diagnostic fee. I tally that up, and my revenue per billable hour target is $279. That's what my team should be hitting. That's the goal for revenue per billable hour. If we don't have something to measure them against, there's no value. So again, take a look at worksheet number 3 in your handout. That will give you something to work on in terms of calculating your targets. Now go back and take a specific period of time, a day, a week, a month, I don't care what it is, and look at what your real revenue per billable hour is, right? Your actual revenue per billable hour, take your total gross sales for that time period and divide it by the number of billable hours that you had. In our example, we had 7,000, I have two service technicians. We had $7,980 in revenue that came in. We had 38 billed hours. When I divide that out, 7980 divided by my 38 billed hours, my actual revenue per billable hour for my team is $210 per technician. So think about that cost of underbilling that we had. In my example that I just walked through here, our target is $279. My team is averaging $210. That's a $69 per hour discrepancy. And throughout the course of the year, again, your typical technician will have 1,200 billed hours per year. $69 per hour times 1,200 billed hours, that's $82,800 in lost profitability, lost revenue per year per technician. If we're not measuring this thing, folks, we can't manage it. And it's costing us a lot of money. So use worksheet number 4 in your handout. That will help you walk through and find out what your actual cost of non-billing or underbilling is in your department. My goal is for my technicians to be hitting the average daily average revenue per hour goal in my company. You need to know what that goal needs to be, and it needs to be set out in front of your technicians. KPI number 2 is your percentage of daily revenue goal reached. Once we have our business plan, once we know what our revenue per billable hour goal is, then we need to set a goal. How much revenue do I expect you, technician, right? Joe Tech, whoever, you know, how much do I expect you to bring in per day? And the goal is for you to hit 100% of that goal. Right. So now think about goals, right? I said earlier that once we put goals in front of a technician, the tendency is for them to reach for it or exceed it. I'm a huge advocate of a stretch goal, right? You know, again, the daily revenue goal is one of those that should be a stretch goal, meaning that it should be slightly higher than what you really need to hit your budget. That way, if they miss it by a little bit as a company, you're still in great shape. Now, I love a 10% stretch, right? In other words, whatever my actual daily revenue goal is that I'm shooting for, I'm going to add another 10% to that, right? Because 10%, they can stretch and they can hit that. I don't want to put it so high up that they can't hit it and it just frustrates them. Make it manageable. So let's figure out, what should this daily revenue goal be? In our first KPI, right, we looked at what was the revenue per billable hour. All I need to do is then simply take and multiply that, because your typical service call will be about an hour. Multiply that times the number of calls that your average technician will run on an average day. I'm not talking about the day that they're running silly because they have 17 service calls, and I'm not talking about the day when they're sweeping the shop floor for the third time. On their typical day, in my example, my technicians run 5 calls per day. Again, incidentally, running too many calls per day is not a good thing. Their actual revenue per billable hour will decline as the number of service calls go up, because in their mind, they're looking at going, I've got 17 more calls to do today. My object here is just get done, get off of this job, and get out. And we see that over and over again. The more calls you put on their list, the lower their their average revenue will end up being per hour. Right, so we take that average revenue per hour. In our case, we said on KPI number 1 that it was going to be $279 per hour. That's what we're shooting for. That's our goal. And my average technician runs 5 calls a day. $279 times 5 calls, that's $1,395 is what I actually need them to be hitting on a daily revenue goal. Now, again, love that 10% stretch, so I'm going to take that $1,395, divide it by 0.9 to add a true 10% to it. Their daily revenue goal at that point needs to be $1,550. And I get company owners all the time that are telling me, there is no way possible my techs could hit $1,500 a day. Well, then we're not managing them properly. Again, you just agreed on KPI number one that we should be at $279 per hour. And if they are indeed running five calls per day, they should be hitting that on each call. It's not magic math. Now, we can also carry that out to a full year. Right? Quite frankly, if their total daily revenue goal is $1,550 per day, you can multiply that times working days per year. There's typically 240 working days per year. We use that because, again, by the time you factor in weekends, take that out. By the time you factor in vacation, holiday, and sick time, we're dealing with about 240 days a year. $1,550 per day times 240 days, this technician in my company should be bringing in a minimum of $372,000 per year. So take a look at the worksheets. Worksheet number five will help you come up with this daily revenue goal that you need within your company. Know what that goal is, put it in front of your team, let them know what it is, and then measure them against it. KPI number three is the residential collections percentage. Cash flow is the number two killer of contracting companies today. The first single largest thing that will put you out of business is improper pricing. The second is cash flow. Your pricing can be set 100% correctly, and you can still go out of business due to poor cash flow. We need to collect the money on the job as soon as possible. Residentially, we should be collecting 100% of the time at the conclusion of the call. We need to make that happen. When your CSRs and dispatchers are booking that service call, one of the statements they should be making on every call is, our technician will be collecting at the conclusion of this call today. Will you be paying by cash, check, or credit card? Notice, invoice to open account was not an option. Now again, we are talking residentially here. Commercially will be a little bit different. However, if you can collect at the end of those, better yet. I always want to be collecting 100% of the time. Now, calculating this KPI is an easy number to calculate, right? We simply take the number of calls that the team ran that they collected on divided by the total number of service calls. So if I have a technician that collected on 23 calls this week, right, and he actually ran 26 calls, 23 divided by 26, he collected on 88% of his calls. I want him to be at 100%. That's the goal we need to measure him against. That's what he needs to be performing to. The lower this number is, the more cash flow problems you will have in your company. Track to 100%. KPI number four, first-time completion percentages. We said earlier that one of the reasons for poor performance was not completing the call the first time we go out there. Think about it. Every time we have to go out there a second time or a third time, that's a diagnostic fee we can't charge to somebody else. That's probably an hour of billing that we may not be able to charge. Right, we probably had to do some running to a supply house or back to the shop to get parts or whatever the case is. But chances are that service call was not profitable. If your technicians are properly trained and their vehicles are properly stocked and we're sending the right number of people out to a job, the right number of techs, they should be able to complete the service call the first time they go out there 95% of the time. Now, if you're in, for example, HVAC, right, I understand today there's no way you can possibly stock every single blower motor circuit board on a unit. Right, some of the pool contractors, you can't possibly stock every single variable speed pump and things that come up. Right, so in those cases, if that's you and you're servicing all brands, that number might be closer to about 92%. But if you're only servicing your equipment, 95% of the time is the minimum that you need to be shooting for. Think about it. What does it cost your company when we can't complete it on the first service call? Chances are, again, that specific service call, that job will not be profitable. You've got lost travel time, additional work time that could have been spent on another service call where you were billing somebody else, so you had lost income there. Odds are we've got inefficiencies in the office. Now the CSRs and dispatchers are scrambling to reschedule other customers and push them back and juggle the schedule. And a lot of times, this really creates a major level of customer dissatisfaction. Chances are they had to take off work to be home to meet you there, right? And so now suddenly we have some problems there. Now, when we look at why the job was not finished the first time around, there's really only a couple of different reasons why it wouldn't have been completed. Think about it for a minute. There's only four possible reasons. The first one is lack of parts. What does that tell you? If we often have to go back to a job because we had to go get parts, then I seriously need to tell you to go back and look at your truck stock. Do you have the right parts in inventory on your truck? Because if we're having, and let me take that a step farther, do the technicians know where to find the stuff on the truck? Right, some technicians' trucks are a disaster. And I know that part is on there somewhere. I just can't find it. I'll just go to the supply house and pick up another one. That's going to be an issue. Second reason is lack of technical expertise. Do they need more training? And if they do, again, that's going to be constant. The stuff we're working on today changes every day of the week. We need to be getting our technicians regular training so they can keep up to speed on the stuff that we're working on and be efficient while they're servicing it. Third reason is lack of manpower. Right? Was this a two-man job and we sent one guy out there all by himself? It's not quite his fault at that point that he couldn't finish the job on his own. And the fourth reason, the only one left, is customer no-show. In other words, we were there, the customer wasn't there. What is that telling you? Again, somebody needs to be calling the customer in advance, letting them know, hey, technician is on his way over to your place right now. He'll be meeting, and if nobody's there, why send a tech? We need to be looking at, so again, either the CSR dispatcher or the technician should be making a call before we get to the customer's house. Those are the only four reasons. Track, if your guys have a problem with this KPI, track which of these four reasons is it, and then manage that out of your company. KPI number five, callback percentage. Because the equipment that we work on is mass produced, mass production will see roughly a 2% of all parts across the board will fail. Right, so there's a 2% chance we may have a failure. In fact, that's the high level. I've worked with enough manufacturers to know that when they hit a 2% failure rate on any component, that's usually where they're issuing some type of, whether it's a recall or a service bulletin or some other type of support. As a result of that, anything above 2% callback ratio is something the technician missed. So we'll give them a little bit of grace there, just a little bit, right? And the KPI that we're measuring to here is 2.75%. The technician's callback ratio should not be greater than 2.75%. If it is, we have a problem. Now, we have to filter out callbacks back to the source technician, right? In other words, let's put it this way. If I ran a service call yesterday and today you have to go run the callback on it, should that be pegged against me or you? Well, it should be me. I ran the first call. I'm the one who missed something. Now, I would also take that a step farther. Sometimes that source call might be another department, right? Your service department may be cleaning up after the install department. Worked with a company at one point in time where they had 10% callback ratio throughout their entire service department. And when we went back and started measuring what was the cause of it, what we found, you know, and who was the source technician, what we found is that 50% of the callbacks were for the installation department, 50% were for other service technicians. And then when we looked at what was the source problem, we found out that more than 50% of the callbacks, the number one reason, was condensate leaks. Well, we now had two separate little training programs that we had to run. One for the service department, so when they're maintaining the equipment, right, what are they doing to check for and eliminate any possible condensate issues on a job? And the other one is for the installation department. Look, when you're installing this stuff, make sure you're installing it properly to make sure that we don't have condensate issues on that job. Find out what the problem is and manage it out of the company. We have to be doing that. So the maximum callback, your KPI, your bogey on this KPI number five is 2.75%. Again, think about it. Every time I have to run a callback, that call is going to be non-billable. So we got some lost time there. the time could have been spent running another service call, right? So we lost that income. And again, same thing as with first-time completion percentage. Now the dispatcher has to start jockeying the schedule, and chances are the customer is going to be dissatisfied. Well, there you have it. Those are the five critical key performance indicators for your demand service department. Remember, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. You have to measure it. And part of this, again, remember that quote from Peter Drucker, right? Leadership is lifting a person's vision to a higher sight, raising a person's performance to a higher standard. Set the vision for your team. Help them to understand why they want and why they need to do this. Because here's the thing, if you don't set the vision, if they don't understand the why, and because I said to do it isn't a valid reason, if they don't understand why they need to do this, what's the benefit, then you're just trying to make more money at their expense. Set that vision for the team. Help them understand why they want and need to do this. Lift their vision. Help them see it. That's part of your role. Measure, 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 measure. Manage the problems out of your company, and hey, make a decision to make it a profitable day.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.